Welcome everybody, this is How to English, Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given when necessary. Gav, hello!
Hi Em, sorry I was still singing the music.
It's catchy. Yes, so Gav, have you turned on your recording device?
I have turned on my professional microphone.
Good. Have you poured out your tea?
My tea is poured out.
Are you sitting down or standing up?
I'm currently sitting down.
What are you looking at? Are you looking at me? I think you're looking at me. Okay.
I like that one. Is that from a film?
It is from a film, I think. I'm not going to do anything violent.
Are you going to De Niro me?
I might De Niro you, but oh, come on. Let's just get on with it.
I'm ready. Shall we start?
Well, I have started. Gav, are you not following this at all?
Are we talking about phrasal verbs?
Well, I have just dropped a few in there. Did you not pick up on it?
I did, but I was enjoying it so much. I wondered how long it would continue.
Well, yes, let's do it. Let's start up this conversation about phrasal verbs.
Yes, I wasn't picking up on what you were saying. All right, I'm there now. I'm ready. What is a phrasal verb?
Oh, Gav. I know this one. This is easy. A phrasal verb is a verb plus a particle.
And what's a particle?
Well, I'm not sure. It's not always a preposition, is it?
It's also an adverb.
That's what I always mix up. So yes, it's a verb plus a preposition or an adverb, which is known as a particle.
Yes, I concur. I can't think of any phrasal verbs today. My mind's blank, but we are going to look at some more later, so don't worry.
Well, look at, yeah. I'm not going to pick them all out when you say them.
Oh, pick out. That's really, it's just endless.
I know.
Do you think somebody's sitting at home making a list of all these phrasal verbs? Because there are a lot already, just from M.
Carry on.
Well.
Carry on.
It's a demand.
It's a phrasal verb.
I was thinking we could start, well, M.
Yes, go.
I have divided today's episode on phrasal verbs into six parts.
Six, that's a lot. Okay.
Would you like to hear the different parts of the episode?
If you want to tell me, I'm happy to hear it, yeah.
Okay, let me break it down.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
I made that up.
Oh, see, now you're running. Now you're getting
there. It's working, isn't it? Okay. So number one, I thought we could start by describing what a phrasal verb is. And in fact, you've already done it.
I was just going to say, part one, check the box. I've done it.
That box is checked. And maybe we were going to cover a few of the common ones, like put on, and the opposite is
put off. I'm sorry, I'm joking. That's what my students say. Take off, Gav. Take off.
You're menacing with this episode already. We haven't even started.
Sorry, I was teaching phrasal verbs this morning and that one did come up. Put on and take off.
So put on your hat and take off your coat. Exactly. And you've already said stand up.
Sit down.
Another one that's quite common, happens a lot in my lessons.
Sorry, Gav, just before we carry on. Those two that you've picked, or those four that you've picked, are actually a really good example of why it's so tricky. Because obviously the opposite of sit is stand, and the opposite of up is down. So that's totally logical, isn't it? But when I try and explain to my students, yeah, put on a jacket, opposite, completely different word, take off. At least the on and the off are opposites, but the put and the take, they just don't get it. And it is really hard to say, well, it just is.
And I thought as well, a really quick summary on why we use phrasal verbs and not just the regular verbs that we also have could also be part of part one that we haven't totally finished yet.
Right, yeah.
Part two will be talking about separable and inseparable phrasal verbs. Part three, transitive. Part four, phrasal prepositional verbs. Just a little one where they've got maybe verb plus adverb plus preposition.
Uh-huh.
Part five, fun phrasal verbs.
Good, good. It was getting heavy there for a little while.
We're going to go as quickly as possible to part five.
Right.
And I'm going to test your knowledge of phrasal verbs.
Gav's test at the end. I should have seen that one coming, of course.
Well, you've had plenty of time to prepare for this.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You've got the entire episode till we get to it. Now, finally, part six, which we've already looked at, in fact, but we will come back to, is problems with phrasal verbs.
Okay.
The ones that are problematic for our students, as you've already said, to put on and to take off, which they learn right at the beginning of the course. And then by the time you're at the end of the course, they've completely forgotten. And yeah, they put on and they put off their hats. And you say, no, why are you going to postpone this hat?
Exactly.
It can't be delayed.
You can't delay a jumper.
Exactly. So no. To put off would be to postpone or delay to a different time. So that is very, very confusing.
But you take off in a plane. I mean, right, we'll come to that later. Anyway.
Yeah, that's it. The common and confusing ones. We'll have a look at the end. Mm-hmm. Try and remember that. I like that, that take off in an aeroplane.
Mm.
So just very quickly, I think a quick explanation that phrasal verbs are generally informal language.
Yeah, would you say they're also more popular, perhaps more typical?
More commonly spoken.
Yes, sorry, did I not make that clear?
And yeah, also informal emails, you'll probably drop in a few phrasal verbs rather than the formal verb. But of course, when you're speaking formal English, when you're writing formal English, when you're reading, you might be reading quite a formal style book. And again, that will use the formal words. So,
yeah.
For example, if I said to you, I had to turn down their offer, you might transform that into a more formal language and say, I had to
reject it.
Or refuse.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. So there are equivalents of
yes,
phrasal verbs and more formal verbs.
And some of those equivalents are so uncommon, I can't think how to say I'll call you back later without saying call and back.
Yeah, they're just so everyday now, aren't they?
They are, but you could say I will return your call.
Well, that sounds nice.
Nice, but it sounds kind of formal and a bit strange.
Maybe a bit too formal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a lot of fun with that, actually. I really like thinking of what is the alternative verb for the phrasal verb.
What about the example?
I thought the test was part six, Gav. Is this the test now?
No, I was just thinking of a few examples of where we can say these are quite informal. For example, I get up at 6 every morning.
Mm.
And if you wanted to be more formal, you could say you
rise out of my bed.
Yeah.
Like,
kind of, I rise.
Like a phoenix. It does sound very poetic, doesn't it?
I rise, I stand exactly in the morning. Mm. That's it. And that's quite confusing to get up and to stand up.
That's it. That's the one big mistake, isn't it?
That's stand part up. Six. I'm getting to part six again already with the problems and the confusing ones.
It's anyway, not easy to avoid talking about the issues. But yeah, let's carry on.
To talk about, that's quite informal. Our formal equivalent might be
discuss.
Yes, exactly. Let's discuss this topic later. Do we discuss about things, Em?
No, we don't, Gav. No, we talk about, we speak about, but we don't discuss about. Okay. We just discuss.
We sometimes slip up with the language, but discuss about is not correct. Yeah. Okay. And if I said, could you please wait for me, or we are waiting for the waiting staff.
What? Waiting for the waiting staff.
I am
holding on.
That's phrasal.
Well, wait for is, isn't it? No, I don't know.
Await.
Await. Oh, yeah. Who remembers the word await?
Exactly. So it just sounds so formal.
How long have you been awaiting me?
Yeah, yeah. It's not very common. So that's it. Let's put that behind us.
Move on.
Separable. What do I mean? Because sometimes the students will say, please pick up me at the airport.
No, Gav.
No.
Pick me up.
So, for example, separable means you can separate the verb and the preposition or adverb and put the object in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So, in the example, they turned down M's offer.
Yeah.
This is separable because you can say they turned M's offer down.
Got it. But you can't say Gavin looked his umbrella for. Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly. You could only say Gavin looked for his umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
You're with me.
I never remember this, but yes.
In the example, call off,
mm-hmm.
we can say they called off the meeting. Can we say they called the meeting off?
Yes.
We can, so this is separable.
Okay, that is clear. Isn't there something about the pronoun as well? If you change the object to a pronoun, instead of saying, do up your seatbelt, do it up. You can't say do up it, but you can say do up your seatbelt.
That's right. That's
so
another rule.
Something happens with pronouns as well.
Yes. If it's a pronoun, like me, you, them, it, etc., it must go in the middle of a separable phrasal verb. Another example is to put up with something.
Like tolerate, you mean?
That's a very nice word. Mm. So would that be separable or inseparable? And give me an example, Em.
I put up with your behaviour because I like you.
Mm-hmm. Put your behaviour up with? No.
No.
No. That must be inseparable. Okay, what about to pick on someone?
He picked on his little sister. No, that's inseparable, isn't it? You can't pick on... can't separate pick on.
Well, you've got the hang of this. What about the last one? To turn into.
Turn into? Like somebody turns into a monster.
Transforms, for example.
Okay. Yeah, inseparable.
Turn a monster into?
No.
It doesn't
turn
work.
A monster into a little kitten. That's actually a bad example. No, you can't.
I agree. So once again, he turned into a monster. Not he turned a monster into. It's just not possible. The language doesn't work that way. So that means, again, it's inseparable.
Although you can say turn a monster into a little kitten. And yes. That would be a completely different action.
That is. That is completely different. And not associated with the turn into inseparable phrasal verb that we were examining. Em, are you ready for part three now that we've polished off part two, our separable and inseparable phrasals?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So we're going to very briefly look at transitive phrasal verbs that need an object.
I might just listen for this bit.
Well, this connects perfectly to the previous bit, which there's a massive crossover because you can have separable or inseparable phrasal verbs, which may or may not be transitive. There are some lovely diagrams on the internet to explain this to our fantastic students.
Are you just saying Google it?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this it? Are we finished?
So it needs an object. Example, I'm looking for...
something.
Yes. What's your something and what are you looking for?
The meaning of life.
But you can't say, I'm looking for...
No, that's good. Yeah, I know that one.
Unless you suddenly fall down a hole because you didn't have your glasses on and you were about to say, I'm looking for my glasses and you fall.
But you wouldn't have finished the sentence, so it still would be wrong.
It's still wrong grammatically. That's it, because it's a transitive. It needs that object. For example, to fill out.
Fill out something, like a form?
Yes.
Yes. I was thinking going back to look for, because the one my students always mix up is look for and look forward to.
Oh.
They're both the same, aren't they? They're both intransitive. You've got to look for something and you've got to look forward to something.
That's it. That's on my list, Em.
Is
exactly.
It?
Yeah. Other things like to take something off, to switch something on, to think about something. Intransitive, you could say, my car broke down.
Yeah.
You can't say my car broke down, my car, or it's not necessary. We don't need an object at the end.
Yeah.
Another example, I woke up at 9 a.m. Mm. Not I woke up me, I woke up myself, I woke up I. It's just
okay.
I woke up at
I
9 a.m.
I understand. Uh-huh.
You get on well with all of your students?
Yeah, but you can say we get on well.
Yeah, but not we get on well us.
Right, I think I'm getting a bit mixed up with whether it needs a pronoun or whether it needs anything.
Just any object. The way to check it yourself would be to stick in that pronoun like it or us or me or them.
Right.
That's it.
Good method.
I make up with my friend after the argument. Not I make up us.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you're with me, Em. You look phased.
Well, this is deep stuff. This is hard grammar.
Well, we can't do a phrasal verb episode without mentioning some of these. Finally, Em.
Yes.
The end of the grammar lesson.
When's the fun bit?
After this one.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention phrasal prepositional verbs.
Good.
Which means it's a verb plus an adverb plus a preposition. It looks like a regular phrasal verb, but it's just a bit longer to get on with, to look forward to put up with. Yeah, we've got those extra long ones.
What are they called again?
They're phrasal prepositional verbs.
So if there's more than one preposition or particle.
Yes, so actually the preposition becomes an adverb for those people who are really into this sort of grammary parsing stuff.
Yes, okay. Parsing, so, how do you spell that?
P-A-R-S-I-N-G.
Right, nice word, Gav.
Thanks. It's just for my grammarian friends out there. But thank you to Wanalism, Learnex, Fluentu, Cura, English Club, and Speak English with Vanessa, who's got some quite good ideas. I'm going to steal in a minute.
You've really done your homework on this one.
Yeah. Should we have made it more fun?
Well, let's go to that section, shall we?
Okay, it's fun time. Can you tell me what to chicken out is?
It's, without using the phrase, it's to back out of a situation because you're scared.
Oh,
have back you ever... Back out. Can I use it without a phrasal verb? To stop doing something because you're scared.
That's nice. Give me an example. When's the last time you chickened out, Em?
I was going to get on the train without buying a ticket with all my friends, but at the last minute I chickened out and I went and bought one because I was scared that I'd get caught.
Glad you did.
I would never do that. You asked for an example. That was the first thing that came to mind.
But I do expect you to please use meaningful, realistic examples in the future, Em.
Yeah, like you say to all your students. That is true. I can't think of anything I chickened out of because I don't sign up for anything that's
dangerous.
No, you're
dangerous. Too brave anyway.
No, I'm not.
What
that's
about
why?
To conk out?
Conk out. Ah.
No, to conk out.
I said conk out.
Not conk out.
Conk out.
Conk out.
Conk out. I really hope my computer doesn't conk out in the middle of a lesson.
Oh no, you haven't upgraded to the new version of that computer system, have you?
Not yet, because I don't want it to conk out.
Very good example. That's it, especially for vehicles and other electrical things. Yeah. What about to fish for?
Ooh. Fish for.
Let me spell it for you, Em. P-H-I-S-H.
Oh, so it's not like fishing for a compliment where you're kind of trying to find something.
Or fishing for your supper, where you might like to eat some fish tonight.
Well, what is it? Fishing for a victim? Is it that? I don't know.
Like, it is connected with crime, yes.
Online crime.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful when you're checking your email that you're not being fished for your money.
That's it, basically. Yeah, so it's like a fake email where they ask you to put in your bank details or something like that.
Yeah.
That's phishing. You're well done. That was very good. What about to bring on?
Bring on. Like, I can take you. Bring it on.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Bring it forth is the official technical way to say it.
Yeah, that's a good example. Or years of bad nutrition brought on illness in later life for this person.
Yes. Are you using real examples, Gav?
I am, yeah.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Well, not me personally, but I mean, the ones that I found on the internet, yeah.
Oh, I thought you had to make it relevant to yourself. But okay.
Well, I thought it was a good example to bring on an illness. What about to cough up?
Cough up. No, there's two meanings to that, and I don't like the first one that I'm thinking of. Like, cough up coming on from your bringing on illness, cough up something like that you don't want to cough up.
Phlegm?
Yeah.
Could cough up a sweet.
Okay. I don't know why the collocation cough up blood is always in my head.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, okay. But cough up, like, come on, I've always paid for the coffees, it's your turn. Cough up.
Mm-hmm, meaning
pay for it.
Often reluctantly.
Is that the example you were looking for?
I didn't have an example. I knew you'd give me a really good one. What about to fawn over.
Oh, these are really hard. Fawn over. My friend had a new baby and everybody was fawning over her.
That's lovely. Could you, what would you say was a more formal?
Well, making a fuss of, making a big deal about something.
That's brilliant. Like to praise somebody.
Yeah, in a positive way. It's definitely always positive.
Very good. What about the flip out?
Flip out? Like I flipped the pancake out of the pan on Sunday.
Onto the floor.
Onto the floor.
No.
Because we don't use the other one, do we?
Well, is it not acceptable?
I don't think so, no.
To lose your cool? To get angry?
Yeah, okay. For example, my mum flipped out when I borrowed her dress and got chocolate on it.
Okay. That's a great example. So became extremely angry or lost her cool.
Yes.
Good example. I like it. How about to mull over?
Mull over. Think about deeply for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. I often mull over what I've said after these podcasts. Possibly regret.
And you wish you could just do it all over again.
Yes.
What about to size up?
Size up. It's to evaluate something or to judge something. So, I sometimes size up my students on the first lesson, just see what I'm dealing with, what they're going to present to me.
Mm.
They're sizing me up too.
Yeah, that's good. Because I often think of it as a kind of battle, a war or a fight. So you look at your opponent and you size them up to see how much bigger they are than you.
Well, maybe it's not quite so aggressive, but I still think you do a little bit of that as well.
I'm going to give you one of your favourite phrasal verbs now, Emma. You ready?
Yeah.
To squirrel away.
Is it my favourite? Okay. Squirrel away. I like to squirrel away pens when I meet people. I just say, can I borrow a pen? And then I don't give it back.
Oh, wow. And I've
like
that.
I've got a fabulous collection of pens.
Okay, so you mean steal there.
Pretty much, yeah.
But what does squirrel away typically mean?
To save for a time when you need them, which I do.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good example. Like squirrels, collecting nuts and putting them in the trees and everywhere else.
Okay.
Very good. All right, last one, to wind down.
Well, at the end of the week, I like to wind down with some reality television and a cup of tea.
Nice. Which is the opposite of wind up.
Is it?
Not really, but it does have a very different meaning.
Well, yeah. Wind down would be relax. Wind up would be deliberately make somebody angry or annoy someone or wind up a clock.
Yeah, that's it. So you're increasing the friction. You're making the more tense, so you're making your watch more tense.
I suppose it is a bit like an opposite, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Right. Finally, Em, you'll be pleased to know we're on the last section.
Oh, okay, we are. Fine.
Of our phrasal verb episode.
Which
do you feel like we've covered like a broad spectrum of phrasal verbs, covered the meaning, given a few examples?
Yeah, we have. Definitely. We've given a lot of examples. Yeah, it's been
Anything
good.
You think's missing so far?
No, I think we're coming to the confusion and the problems. Can I start?
I would love you to start.
What is the difference between to throw up and to throw away? Like, I threw up my rubbish the other day. What would that mean, Gav?
You threw up your rubbish?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Well, if you ate your rubbish and then you threw up your rubbish. But when my students say, yes, I throw up all my rubbish, I take everything to the recycling centre.
So they mean they threw away their rubbish?
Yeah.
Because to throw up means to vomit.
Exactly. So those things, just the changing of one little preposition changes everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is a very good example. Just a slip, even.
Mm.
And to throw up can also be used in another way.
Well, throw up a ball to play a game.
Yes. But can't you throw up something during a discussion?
You can throw up an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Wrong prepositions can completely change the meaning.
Just be careful. Make sure you get it right. And if in doubt, just use the verb.
Yes.
But I still advise people to practice in a safe environment, in your lessons,
yeah,
with your friends, But yeah, make sure you know what you're saying when you say it.
What about pick and pick up?
Pick and pick up. Pick without the particle.
Yes.
Like pick your nose.
Mm-hmm. Do you pick flowers or pick up flowers?
You pick flowers.
Why?
I'm not sure. Up, I guess, is from the ground.
It is.
But flowers are on the ground, so why don't we pick up flowers?
But you pick up things that have fallen on the ground.
Ah, that's it. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up something fallen, but you pick something that's still connected to the ground or mm-hmm. on the tree.
Yeah, like pick apples, pick cherries.
Pick your nose. It's still connected. If you dropped your nose, you would pick it up.
I would probably scream, and then I would pick it up.
Yeah, but it's the logic's there.
Yes. So sometimes it's the confusion between the verb and a phrasal verb.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's natural for students to think, right, now I'm intermediate level, yes. I'm only going to use phrasal verbs.
You're right.
You and then you right. say, oh, no, but that actually has got a different meaning.
Well, sometimes very different meanings like that one, but sometimes it's very subtle, like the finish up. Finish,
yes,
for example.
I know, they're good, aren't they? I like
what
those.
What is the difference? Finish your dinner, finish up your dinner.
It's a very small difference. Like, because we add some prepositions meaning to the end.
Yes, but why add to the end to finish? It's already the end. Sounds more finished.
Yeah.
Finish up. Perhaps like, I finished up at work and then I went home. It sounds more final, more
yeah.
complete.
We're emphasising this.
Yeah, a good one. A good example is fill the cup, fill up the cup, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It does suggest a bit more that in the cup if it's filled up.
Mm, that does.
Just a little bit, though.
Maybe you've filled it up too much.
Well, then you've added something else. But fill up just makes it sound a little bit more filled than filled.
Clear as mud.
Okay.
Which reminds me to fill in a form and to fill out a form, as far as I know, it's the same. So confusing.
Maybe fill out is more an American phrasal verb, so they've kind of changed some of the prepositions.
Could be, yeah. Again, you're going to have the regional variations there. What about grow and grow up?
Grow. Flowers grow, trees grow, children grow up.
Mm.
But flowers can grow up a wall if you give them something to...
Grow up something,
yes.
Okay. But that is a confusing one for my students. They say often, my flowers grew up very quickly this spring.
Yeah, they can shoot up though, can't they?
They can shoot up, but they cannot grow up because only children grow up, M.
Okay. Or if you're just talking to someone who's being very immature, you can just say, oh, grow up.
Become adult-like again. It is about transforming from a child to an adult.
It is.
Look after and care for.
Oh, yeah.
And the prepositions are all
about. All over the place. Look after, care for, care about. How often do you get mixed up with care about and take after? Take care about? No, that one, no.
Definitely
take care
not.
About does not exist.
I think just stick to the basics. Look after somebody or something. Care for somebody or something.
Well, just choose one. Choose one that you know is right. You don't have to mix them together. You don't have to use all of them in one go.
And drop about.
Well, only if you care about people and you care about the planet.
Yeah, okay.
That's
but
fine.
It's unusual, typically, that my students are saying that they're looking after their children this weekend or they're caring for their elderly grandparents.
They take care of. So all of those are fine. But the difference, I think, with care about is more of a passive thing. You don't have to actually do anything if you care about the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You can still not take your bottles to the recycling place, but you look after your children, you have to give them food and make them go to sleep on time and stuff like that.
Yes.
I hope that was clear.
It was crystal clear.
Okay.
I'm out.
Are you?
Okay. I'm out of here.
Did you give up?
No, I think we were very successful. I think we defeated phrasal verbs from... elementary, beginner level, right to advanced. We really got
defeated,
it.
Defeated, did you say? We defeated them.
Well, all right. We conquered them. We beat them.
We
took on the challenge. We faced them. We held our ground and we explored them until they were vanquished from
really doesn't make sense. But
no, I'm just gonna stop.
Well, you can't stop there because you've got to introduce the song.
That's right. And before I do, we've got some quick shout-outs. Are you ready? Okay. Cue the music, Em.
Pressing the button now.
Em, you start.
Translation Learning. Thank you.
English.ix.
Morv.aridenglish.
English.with.alina1391.
Kish Taransar.
_English_Elise_
That's five E's at the end. English_teacher_Alahi.
My Learning Stuff.
Tinglish_me.
Ingles.con.daha.
Nicole Lessons.
English BC.
And finally, English with Elisa Ferrin.
Thank you, Elisa.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. And there are wonderful posts on there. And thanks for your lovely comments.
Song time.
Song time. Now, Em, today we are fortunate enough to share a superb rap from a teacher and musician, Jason Levine, better known as Fluency MC. The song is called Go and contains an extraordinary number of phrasal verbs and idioms with go.
Yeah, Gav, I lost count trying to keep track of all those phrases. There are just so many. It's incredible how many he's managed to pack into one song.
Yeah, me too. But don't worry, we'll put the lyrics in our show notes. Over to you, Fluency MC.
Hey, everybody, this is Jason Levine, better known as Fluency MC. I'm a teacher, trainer, and knowledge entertainer from the United States, currently living in Paris, France. I make songs to help people remember English, and this one right here is called Go. Check it out.
Go all in from the get-go and go all out. Go toe-to-toe, go for broke, no doubt. Go and see, go now, go check it out. Fluency the MIC, that's what it's all about. Go berserk, go bananas, go out of your mind. Go easy on yourself, go relax and unwind. Go to the beach or the park, go on a date, go deep. Go party, go celebrate, go out and play. Go straight away, don't delay. Don't be afraid to go your own way. Go on a journey, go somewhere, go anywhere. Go take a closer look, go on an adventure. Don't go by the book, go wild, go explore. Go where no one else has ever gone before. Go score, go for yours, then go for more. Go ahead and do it, get going, go to it. Ready, ready, go. Come together, gather round. Tune in, listen up, this is how it's going down. Fluency MCs, rocking parties worldwide. Don't you know, here we go, let the flow be your guide. Ready, ready, go. Come together, gather round. Tune in, listen up, this is how it's going down. Fluency MCs, rocking parties worldwide. Don't you know, here we go, let the flow be your guide. Here we go!
Fluency.
MC.
Fluency.
MC.
Fluency.
Go to great lengths and go in style. Go head to head. Go the extra mile. Go outside. Go on. Go for a run or a walk or a ride. Go and have some fun. You're good to go. So build and grow. Our systems are go. Go for what you know. Easy come, easy go. So just go with the flow. Go non-stop. Go straight to the top. Go uptown, downtown, overseas, all around. For a swim, for a hike. Go for what you like. The best way to go is go hard and go long. Stay on the go and you won't go wrong. Stay strong, go beyond to the next level. Go through with it, go out of your way. Don't settle, go to back up to the mat. But don't go to the extreme. Go all the way to go after your dreams. Go. Come together, gather round. Tune in, listen up, this is how it's going down. Fluency MCs, rapping hip-hop worldwide. Don't you know, here we go, let the flow be your guide. Drive never idle, I'm right there beside you, I'll guide you. Don't let your pride go to your head. Don't go chasing the claim, go with your heart instead. Go forward, go far, shoot for the stars. Go at top speed to succeed, go take the lead. There are people in need, so be a go-getter. A little goes a long way to make the world better. Just going through the motions will make you go blind to the people around you going through hard times. Go with an open mind, you'll be going places. Going through the right phases to circle the bases. That's the basis, it's the wheel of life goes around. When people go at you, don't ever let them shut you down. Develop persistence, overcome resistance. Go for the gold and you'll go the distance.